image of a creator God, we were born to be creative. And I think this extends to the way in which we can show our respect and feeling for love for God, the ways in which we can worship. So in this box, I'll try and stay close to the microphone, I've got two eggs. So Emily, can you tell me, so one's boiled and one is a raw egg. Can you tell me which one is the boiled egg? No. So I'm going to try and not make a mess. So this is the boiled egg. This is the raw egg. On the outside, these eggs look exactly the same, don't they? It's hard to tell which one is the boiled one and which one is the raw one by just looking at them. And they're a bit hungry, so I'll just put the lid back on. In the same way, it's hard to tell what's going on inside from how we're worshipping externally. Only when we see what's inside the egg can we tell what state the egg is in. In the same way, God can see what's inside of us. He can see past our shell. He can see what state our heart is in, and he can see the heart behind our outward actions of worship. I do believe that God is more concerned about the heart behind our worship more than the physical act of our worship. A few weeks ago in my encounter group, we were having a discussion about the woman wiping Jesus' feet with her tears and hair. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 38, it says, "When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with them, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them." Someone in the group pointed out how inappropriate this would be now, let alone in those days, for a woman to just be crying and wiping her hair on Jesus' feet. But it was a form of just pure worship. It was a way to show strong feeling of love and respect for Jesus, her version of worship. Jesus didn't rebuke her as the Pharisee had prompted him to, but instead rebuked him for and called him out on his lack of hospitality. Jesus saw her heart of worship. So by no means am I wanting to downgrade the importance of sung and musical worship. Job 38 describes the stars and angels singing and shouting even before the cornerstones of the earth were laid. Isaiah 55 describes creation worshiping with sound and music. Verse 12 says, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." During my school years, I was in various bands and orchestras with my clarinet, and I do still enjoy going to the theatre now as well. And whenever I hear the sound of instruments tuning before a performance, it does make me feel all goosebumpy. Can you imagine the sound I mean? The sound of different instruments playing their single note and harmoniously creating those warm-up chords is like my snippet into what I imagine the angels worshipping in heaven is like. There's no doubt that music and worship do go hand in hand. Psalms 33, verse 1 to 3 says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Singing songs of praise and playing music in worship is very biblical. But as we've heard in previous weeks, our worship doesn't have to be limited to that. The Bible does talk about different ways people can offer up worship to God and that God is pleased with it. In Exodus 25, God tells Moses the details of the offerings for the tabernacle. Exodus 25, verse 3 to 4 gives a clear description. I'll read it now and try and imagine what that offering may have looked like. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. God is telling the Israelites to give offerings of colour, materials and fragrances. God himself is instructing them to worship him with these things. The book of Exodus and Leviticus mention many times about the aroma of various offerings being pleasing to God. God is enjoying the smell of their worship. In Matthew 2, we see the Magi offering the baby Jesus precious things as their form of worship. On Palm Sunday, the people were shouting Hosanna and laying out a red carpet-like path of palm branches to show their acclaim for Jesus' authority and worship him. In Psalms, the word Selah occurs many times at the end of verses. It's not completely clear what this means exactly, but it is a common belief that it means to stop, pause, reflect, and be still. Maybe they're directions for the musician that a pause is needed. I assume when David is calling out to God, these Selah moments are an important enough part of his worship that they had to be included in the Bible. So quite a few of you will be aware that I'm really into art. I went to university for 4 years to do art. Now it's my form of relaxation. When I'm feeling low, one of the first self-care things I do is schedule in some time to draw or paint. I would say I have strong feelings of enthusiasm for it. I'm passionate about it. Now I've started seeing this as something I can use in my personal worship time. Some of you may also remember the creative worship sessions that I led on a few Saturday mornings a few years ago. I really believe it is a God-given gift, and so I want to be using my gift to show love and respect for God, using my gift to worship. We sang a while ago about coming back to the heart of worship, but I wonder how many things we can bring our heart of worship into as well. Or put differently, what things we can bring our hearts of respect and feeling of love for God into. Romans 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Our whole body should be a sacrifice and worship to God. Leslie Cheeseman a couple of weeks ago said that acts of obedience can be our worship. Hospitality can be our worship. Generosity can be our worship. The other four of our values definitely link into what it means to worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." What our voices are doing, what our hands are doing, what our mind is thinking, where our feet are going, can all be used to glorify and show our respect, our love and respect for God, to worship him. I would like to point out that I don't mean that I believe watching TV or scrolling through Facebook and things like that is worship. We still need to remember that this is for an awesome and holy creator God, but I'm hoping that you do get the point I'm trying to make. Laura spoke last week about worship changing the way our brain works and its ability to decrease our fear response and increase brain capability. The more areas we can intentionally bring the heart of worship into, the less space there is for fear and anxiety and negativity. So I wanted you all to bring something that you enjoy doing, and I really just want us to spend some time doing that thing, but with our hearts of worship, with God as the focus, directing your thoughts towards him while you're doing it. How can that thing or that hobby or that talent be used in worship? For those of you that find worship is sometimes cut short, we're going to have a bit longer today. If you didn't bring anything, that's fine. You can sit and you can contemplate. For those who are enthusiastic about singing, please sing. For those that like to pause and be still, who enjoy those Selah moments, here is some space for you to just soak in God's presence. If you are enthusiastic about praying, maybe you can get up and go and pray with someone, but please be mindful of COVID. For those at home, this might be a little bit easier for you to engage with if you have things around you. Or if you're stuck, maybe you can ask the Holy Spirit for some inspiration. Please just use this next bit of time in whatever way you'd like. I would like everyone to take this opportunity to think about whether worshipping passionately could mean something different to you than you had previously thought. Can you use something you are enthusiastic about as a way to show God the love and respect you have for him? Can you use your passion to worship? So I'll hand over to Dave now to lead us in worship. And we can, so I've brought my sketchbook, and I hope you've brought stuff with you that you can think about, contemplate on, do, and see if passionate worship or worship for you can mean something different.
So